Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Now, Brad, when we're growing up, we're very influential on our idols and people like this around us that we see on TV and things.
Easily influenced by them, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Especially I was a young Hutsy. I was obsessed with basketball for a little while there because, you know, obviously we've seen The Last Dance and those documentaries. It captured lightning in a bottle when they won all those championships. So that started to really raise the popularity of the NBA overseas as well once that started. Everyone's all of a sudden walking around with Michael Jordan jerseys and things, but I wasn't one of those. I was obsessed with Shaq.
Really?
Yeah, because I remember, like, all of a sudden he got a big. He was at Pizza Hut on these drink bottles I had. He was on these cereal boxes and stuff. We had to actually do this thing at school where we had to, like, talk about a sporting idol that we had. And I drew, like, a Orlando Magic jersey with Shaq's name on there, number 32. Yeah.
So you're a massive cricket tragic, but you decided to do a presentation on Shaquille O'Neal. I know he is a master of marketing. I've got to say, this man knows how to promote himself. I don't know what his basketball skills were compared to the likes of Michael and Kobe, you know. I don't know how good he was compared to those guys. But when it comes to promoting, he is the GOAT.
Yeah, absolutely. It turns out he went pretty well, though, on the court. You know, four-time NBA champion, 15-time All-Star, Hall of Famer in 2016.
Okay.
So he went all right. And he's come to Melbourne. And as you would imagine, fans are excited. They're lining up around the block.
The line to meet Shaquille O'Neal at clothing store Culture King snaked around a city block. At 216 centimetres tall, it wasn't hard to catch a glimpse.
Where did you come up to? His waist? Probably his knees, I don't know.
Probably not the best answer for that young lady, but he's 216 centimetres tall. He is quite tall. Mm-hmm. Such a nice guy as well. It's the first time.
Still flies economy, though.
Yeah, still flies economy, yeah.
Still,
first time in 20 years he's actually been in Australia. He's doing a speaking tour at the moment because he does plenty of motivational speaking tours and talks about his career, all these evenings with Shaq and that sort of stuff as well. He's not doing it really for the money. You know, we've seen him over the years in those betting ads and stuff, but despite that, he's worth around $400 million, so he's okay. It's not like he's down and out like a Hulk Hogan. He just keeps getting dragged out of retirement to try and earn a couple of extra dollars. But he's not all about the money, Brad.
No?
He wants to be remembered as just being a top bloke.
You know, when it's all said and done, talk about legacies, I want mine to be one sentence. Shaq was a nice guy. Not Shaq sold this, and Shaq has that, and Shaq, none of that matters. Was he nice?
Yeah, he's got a pretty big resume.
Shaq encouraged me to delve into gambling, and now I have crippling debts. He was a nice guy, though.
Yeah, some things that some people won't say. Shaq encouraged me to start a music and an acting career.
Yeah. Has he got many questions about Steel or Kazam?
Not really.
Or he's been in Australia?
It's a strange thing, though. Like, I think there was only a couple of real one-on-one or two-on-one sort of interviews. There was actually one that was on the KO service. We had to pay $29.95 to watch Matty Johns, an ex-AFL player and radio host, Jonathan Brown, sit down and chat with Shaquille O'Neal.
Why didn't they get a basketball player to sit down with him?
I don't know, like an Andrew Gaze or a Shane Hill.
Yeah, Liz Campbell. Well, not Liz Campbell. But, you know, one of our basketball stars.
Luke Longley. He'd be like, I remember he used to play against you. But imagine the reminiscing that would take place. Now, they got Matty Johns and Jonathan Brown.
Okay.
And you kind of felt like you might have been ripped off with your $29.95 when they were, you know, asking questions like things like about his hands.
You got the big hands. This man's nickname to finish off with. His nickname's Tiny Hands.
You know what they say about men with tiny hands.
What kind of conversation are you guys engaging in? You've got one of the biggest superstars in the world, and he ended up walking up just comparing hand size, and Shaq's was like, geez, they're like bear claws compared to Matty Johns's.
Sounds like Matty Johns didn't do his research. He was just like...
questions to ask Shaq.
Those questions were based on what he could see in front of him. Oh, you've got quite large hands.
Yeah, after hearing that, though, I feel like I've been scarred for life because those betting ads, they're still on TV, but... Maybe they're not as wholesome as I once thought after hearing the thing about the hands, you know.
There's a lot you can do in a few seconds.
Even with just one hand.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot.
Oh, God.
Right there.
Good night, ladies.
Oh, Jesus.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Yesterday we were talking about this nightclub, Club 77 in Darlinghurst, Sydney. They've just implemented a new sort of anti-harassment policy. They'll have these safety officers wandering around in pink high-vis vests, looking out for people who are doing the wrong thing, harassing other patrons. But what's classed as harassment is the thing that's making headlines because they are saying that people who are caught staring will be ejected from the club. So,
So that song's banned?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's off the list.
I mean, what if you've got some sort of condition where you just don't blink very often? You know what I mean?
What if you got a condition like me where you don't get out very often and you just don't know what other people look like? You're like, wow, that's what other people look like.
Yeah, it's a pretty harsh policy. It's a bit of a blurry line there. You know, how long are you allowed to, like, glance at someone before it's considered a stare?
Yeah.
Raised a lot of questions about, you know, what it's like to go to nightclubs these days. Back in my day, it was. I mean, not that I stood there and stared at people anything, but I'm saying this seems a little harsh to me.
It does.
You know what I mean? I mean, in my day, if someone was up on the dance floor and started like getting a bit too close to someone else, invading their personal space, then security would intervene, and that's fair enough.
That's
you want everybody to feel safe and have fun. Mm. But the staring thing's a bit, I don't know, it was weird. Got us reminiscing though about our nightclub days, our very short-lived nightclub days.
Mine didn't last too long.
So today we're asking what it was like when you were in the club. Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
If you went to the clubs at all.
Yeah. I didn't do that much clubbing. I did special occasions and stuff. And when I turned 18, when I was in year 12, I was sort of like one of the elder statesmen of that year. So I turned 18 before a lot of people because my birthday's in April. A lot of them are like later in the year. So, you know, I was telling them all these stories about all these clubs. Gather around, children. I'll tell you a story about a better place. And the big song when I was 18 was this one from Usher, of course. In 2004. It was massive.
Right.
Everyone was around Wollongong, parking at South Beach or North Beach and just sitting in their cars and playing music because that's what they done. That was their thing if they weren't in the club. But yeah, the big place for me when I was at school, we still had lots of people trying to bodgy their IDs to try and get in the club, but it was the Glass House in Wollongong.
Oh, okay.
But then that place was notorious for all sorts of trouble and
stuff.
Oh,
really?
It's not even
so
there.
Staring wasn't the worst of their problems at the Glass House.
Yeah, the Glassy. Okay. I went to the Glassy last night and got glassed. That's just about what happened. But
well, I mean, I grew up on the Gold Coast. So, you know, Surfers Paradise is like the mecca of nightclubs.
Yeah.
And so, but I was never a big club fan. I didn't like it. You know, it was like, I just went there to try and meet girls. And you know,
Slick Brad, eh?
They can't hear you. You know, you got to yell over the songs and that. So in the end, I just gave up and I finally found a club called The Party. There was Cocktails and Dreams, which was for all the girls.
Yep.
And then underneath you had The Party that played heavy rock and metal.
Whoa.
And like,
it's your jam.
Not much of a dancer, but if you put this jam on it.
Oh, the song that we can never play on the radio.
No, that's right.
That's about as much as we can
play. Oh, straight up on the dance floor. Just thrashing around like a mad thing. Again, never met any girls, but I had some fun.
That's right.
That's what I remember of my club days. But 1-300-92-1250. What about your clubbing days?
Yeah, let's take you back.
Kylie in Brogo's called. Morning, Kylie. When did your clubbing days start? How old are you?
From the age of 16, I was going out to nightclubs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what was the landscape like back then, though?
It was good. I liked it.
What are we talking? What kind of music? MC Hammer? Vanilla Ice?
No, the 90s, like Britney and Destiny's Child and all that kind of, you know, Who Let the Dogs Out? That one was
Do they usually play that around closing time?
No, that closing time song, you know, the...
Oh, Semisonic?
Still to this day cannot listen to that song. It's horrible. They always used to play it and that was just, you just knew that the night was over and it was just that shiver up your spine.
Oh, yeah. How much has it changed since you were the clubbing days? Like, obviously there was that story about no staring at this club in Sydney and all these rules. I'd imagine the rules were a bit looser back in the 90s.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, guys were staring all the time.
Yeah.
They go, look at that chick throwing shapes up on the dance floor to Who Let the Dogs Out.
Well, see, I used to work in hospitality, so I didn't used to get out till about 11. And that would weed out all the really drunk people. And then it was party time.
Fantastic.
For everybody else.
Yeah, do you remember what was your jam back in the club? What was the song that came on? Instantly that song came on, you were like, that's it, I'm here, I'm present.
The D4.
That Sandstorm song?
Darude.
That in Moosehead used to just go off.
That's still a banger.
Yeah, the beat drops and then it comes back slowly.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Yep.
You're back up.
That was That was like, you know, 18, 19-year-old type of thing.
And then, of course, the years pass and then you get disappointed every time you go to step into a club or a bar and they don't ask for your ID anymore and you're like, oh.
No, I don't go to clubs anymore. My girlfriend goes with her son. Her son's 20.
Oh, really?
And they sometimes revisit some of our old club areas and she's 40. I'm like, yeah, no.
You're like, you can keep it.
I'm not going to be that old person that I used to look at in the club going, what are they doing here?
Oh, there was always one of those, wasn't there? Usually if it was a male, he was wearing like a white suit or something like that.
Yeah.
A bit seedy.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
We all want to live to a ripe old age, but some are able to achieve this, you know, better than others. Yeah, apparently there's over 5,500 centenarians. Really old people in Australia, over the age of 100, I'm talking, you know. And recently we found out about Frank Moore in Tilba here on the far south coast. He is officially Australia's oldest person. I think he turned 110 earlier in August, I think on the 16th.
Yeah.
So he's sort of just edging out some of the other centenarians.
Do you reckon when you get to that age, if you want to keep the title, you just keep checking the papers every day just to be
still safe. In front, baby. Yeah. But there is one lady down in South Australia, Katarina van der Linden. She's from the Netherlands, and she's reached a ripe old age recently and celebrated.
Sporting sunnies, Katarina van der Linden is set to become a super centenarian, turning 110 tomorrow.
Happy birthday to you.
So Frank is still in front because he celebrated his birthday like a week earlier, but Katarina, obviously he's gone for style points wearing the sunglasses on her 110th birthday. You get to that age though, you know, you've seen a lot.
Born in the Netherlands in 1912, she's seen the world change dramatically in a lifetime and lived through 2 pandemics and 2 world wars.
We're not suggesting she's connected to any of those. We're just saying she's seen a lot.
Yeah, she's seen a lot. She still hasn't seen Parramatta win a grand final. No, just joking. They won the couple.
Could be the year. Her son Jerome obviously was there to celebrate Mum's 110th birthday, and he's got his fingers crossed. It all comes down to DNA.
I'm hoping some of the genes have rubbed off. It'd be nice to know that we should reach a ripe old age.
See, this is the thing you always ask: how did she get to 110?
Yeah,
what's her secret? She is from the Netherlands, so maybe it's those Dutch genes. Clogs. Maybe it's the Dutch food, you know. Maybe Katarina is always like, what do you attribute to your old age? And she's like,
smoking a pancake, flapjack and a cigarette, sugar and a waffle.
But it's not those things. She says, and you're going to hate this, it's exercise. Even at 110, Katarina is still smashing the gym twice a week and she walks 3Ks a day.
Far out.
She likes to be very independent. So it's, I've got to say, it's very embarrassing that a 110-year-old does more exercise than I do. I got to get onto it. But you're thinking, okay, surely she must have some sort
of... There's a vice.
...indulgence. Yeah. And turns out it's the bubbly.
My favourite drink is champagne. I like champagne drinking.
She loves the champers.
Sneaky champers.
And, you know, Katarina's that old. She can remember when champagne didn't even have bubbles. I'm like, I don't know. My nan likes champagne as well, but... If my nan lived to 110, I'd be a little wary about, like, opening a bottle of champagne around her. Otherwise, the sound of that cork going off, she might not see 111. That's just like, maybe just use the goon box to shout the champagne.
The reflexes aren't what they used to be.
No, definitely not.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.